I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times. Pop singer George Michael died this past Sunday, one of a number of musical icons we lost in 2016, including David Bowie, Leonard Cohen, Prince, among others. Well, today in Radio Times, we'll play a Bowie and Cohen song from their new albums, part of our celebration, and look back on the best of 2016 in music, an end-of-the-year ritual on Radio Times. We have songs from other singers and performers queued up as well, and we have two guests who have joined us. Here in our Philadelphia studio, kind of a ritual for us as well, is Tom Moon, music reviewer for NPR. He's a jazz musician. His band is called Ensemble Novo. And Tom, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be with you.
And joining us from South Africa is Lior Phillips, associate editor for Consequence of Sound, who's been featured in Billboard, Rolling Stone, Vice, The Quietus, and others. And Lior, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Hi, guys.
Hi, nice to have you here. Well, let me throw out a couple of kind of general questions before we start playing some of the music that both of our guests picked out. But from your perspective, Tom, what kind of a year did we have? Is it possible to summarize it?
Well, apart from the deaths, which is such a huge thing, it was an enormously creative year in music. And I think we're finally starting to see the music world disregard the avenues of distribution and all the industry-related problems and just sort of make statements that are that are coming from deep within and are not as calculated to the marketplace as they have been.
And then that's all good, isn't it?
I mean, think this is it's terrific. Very good, yes.
Lior, from your perspective, you're in South Africa, so I don't know if it's a different perspective from Tom's, but what do you hear?
In terms of this year, I feel like it was just a year that all artists all over the world, to be honest, were kind of told to use their voice. Even if the voice was shaky and their heart was a little bit wobbly, it was a year, and you know, it was a year just for everybody to really speak out and speak openly and honestly. And yeah, that's kind of what I took from an amazing year in music as well.
And again, I mean, that is all good. It seems like then we're in a good time to like music, Tom.
Yes.
Very much, yeah. And, you know, you have enormous hope when you see as many good records. I mean, you know, we're talking about old guys. The Rolling Stones made a tremendous blues record, just bloodthirsty, great blues record that, you know, I really wrestled with how many things from the relic era do I put on a top 10 list? But it deserved to be acknowledged, and it got lots of love in the media, deservedly as well.
Tom and I were talking about the fact that Bob Dylan, you know, gets the Nobel Prize in Literature this year, just sort of add to some of the drama and excitement of the music of 2016.
Absolutely, and I think one of my most memorable and best musical moments of 2016 was that video of Patti Smith, you know, singing A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, you know, with an orchestra behind her in Vienna. It's just overwhelmed by the Nobel that she was accepting for her friend, and just incredible. It's a really good moment.
Yes, absolutely. And I mentioned in my introduction a couple of people who died, including David Bowie. And Tom, David Bowie is on your list of music that you want us to listen to from his most recent album, came out earlier this year, called Black Star. It's funny, I was talking with John Ahrens, who produced this hour, and I said, every time I listen to David Bowie, I'm intrigued, and I have never bought one of his albums. I know. I'm sorry. Guilty as charged.
Boy, true confessions time right here on the radio.
But I like what I hear. But whatever that
next. How you feel?
Well, the thing about him is that, you know, depending on where you drop the needle, year by year and era by era, he's a totally different artist. What makes this record so interesting, first of all, is it all shares a vibe. It's like it's got a very thick mood that sustains from beginning to end, and that it came out of Bowie happening into a jazz club in New York called the 55 Bar, hearing Donnie McCaslin's group, and like sort of like turning over in his head this thing. He didn't want to be a crooner kind of, he didn't want to make a Tony Bennett kind of jazz record, but he wanted to expand his palette into this direction. And For me, we're talking about creativity this year. This album and then the album that Donny McCaslin and his group made after Bowie died, which is called Beyond Now, and is much more of a traditional like jazz record in many ways, but has Bowie's a couple of Bowie tunes and has Bowie's influence in it. It shows the circuit of inspiration that we see back and forth a lot that we actually often don't appreciate, that it kind of goes around. Bowie hears these guys, he collaborates with them, then dies and comes back around to these guys playing this music and trying to work in a way that isn't a traditional jazz way.
Well, let's listen. And this is a Black Star from David Bowie's album of the same name.
On the day of execution, on the day of execution, only women kneel and smile. At the center of it all, at the center of it all,
Black Star from David Bowie's album of the same name. I mean, Tom, that's just terrific.
It's so thick. That record is just so thick. It just takes you into a world and, you know, puts you in it and you have to stay there.
What do you hear, Lior?
I agree. It's true. I'm such a Bowie fan. That's why my gasp was so loud.
I'm so sorry.
All the way from South Africa. No,
it's
the best thing. And I think Tom's point was so true. You know, he's got such different phases, but you know, whether or not it was different to his Let's Dance era or even his Low era, it's not as if he's never experimented before. So, you know, here he's tackling jazz, but it's so Bowie.
True.
And it's the best way for him to go, really. As sad as it was, I still get very teary talking about it. But, you know, it just reconfirms how he's never hid from any of his emotions. You know, it's very open. And it's great.
I totally agree with, and I am deeply shamed by my on-air confession. Lior, let me go to you. You picked Anoni, 4 Degrees from Anoni's album. It's called Hopelessness. Tell us what we should listen for.
Well, Anoni, if you don't know Anoni, it's a force behind Anthony and the Johnsons. Anoni delivers songs with such an evocative poetry, both in her lyrics and her voice. Hopelessness, which is the album that I chose, you find her lyrics increasingly and explicitly referencing the hardest of our realities. You know, she goes from specific terrors of climate change to, as mentioned, on 4 Degrees, to the tragedy of childhood in a war-torn country. But having said that, you know, Anoni, for all this gloominess that she covers, this album feels anything but gloomy. You know, she sang about the apocalypse before during her song Another World, and she really uses pop as her political vehicle, but it's very accessible. And 4 Degrees, the song that we're going to hear, is basically, you know, she tackles like a world where a difference of just 4 degrees can mean, you know, the death of millions of creatures, and apathy isn't dangerous. And she, you know, cries over beautiful horns and strings and themic percussion, and it's really wonderful.
That's a great setup. 4 Degrees from Anoni's album Hopelessness.
It's only 4 degrees. 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 I wanna see this world. I wanna see it boil. I wanna see this world. I wanna
And that's a song called 4 Degrees from Anoni's album Hopelessness. Lior, my ignorance completely on display here. Where is she from, Anoni?
She's originally English, but she now lives in New York. I believe she's based in New York now, but she's originally English.
I mean, really interesting beats and rhythms, and you know, I'm not even sure exactly what I was listening to instrument wise.
I think if you can hear that song with kind of an open mind, then delve into the entire album. You know, she's got Drone Bomb Me, which a lot of people, I think that's how they really heard about her, because she had Naomi Campbell in her music video, and Naomi was kind of mouthing the lyrics, and it was just so beautiful and empowering. She's empowering.
I like her voice, and in certain ways, you know, if you don't know who it is, you think, well, maybe it's a man, maybe it's a woman. What do you hear?
Yes.
What do you hear, Tom?
Well, I was surprised that we picked that one just because there are some moments of real tenderness on this record that I love. Mm. The way she uses her voice is pretty darn unique. And, you know, any of the Anthony and the Johnsons records have that, too. And the more exposed music on this is really powerful.
Let me read a couple of comments. A tweet from Jay says, best album of 2016 is Easy. Leonard Cohen's epic swan song. In fact, we're going to end with a piece from that. A tweet from Deborah Magma at Gajori, written by Duplantier Brothers. Mom's death is an emotionally packed, enriching masterpiece. I'm looking at you, Tom. Yes,
did not hear that.
Lior, do you know that one?
Which one? Which one did you, the last one? I missed that.
That's okay. It's called Magma by Gajira.
Yes, huge album of the year. Amazing. And it's more metal and harder than what I'm used to, but really good mention for anybody out there who likes that style of music.
Well, we are talking about the music that we have enjoyed in 2016. We want to hear from you, and that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Our guests are NPR music reviewer Tom Moon, who's also a jazz musician, here with us in our Philadelphia studio, and joining us from South Africa, Lior Phillips, who writes for Consequence of Sound and other publications. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, get back to some more music as well. So do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with Lior Phillips and Tom Moon about some of the music that they and we have enjoyed over the last year. Tom, you picked Redbone from Childish Gambino's album Awaken My Love. Childish Gambino, also known as Donald Glover, who also has a show, very popular show on TV here in the States.
Yeah, the show's called Atlanta, and he was on 30 Rock and Community and has had a presence as an actor for a long time. And he's made a couple other records that were pretty hip-hop centric. So this record, which is a complete turn from that and sort of looks back at the Funkadelic and Parliament records of the 70s, really took us by surprise. And we're talking about great singing. This was some surprisingly beautiful, evocative vocalizing on this record.
Let's give it a listen.
So long, you made a nigga like
That's Redbone from Childish Gambino, also known as Donald Glover, and that's his album called Awaken My Love. And Tom, I'm in my 30s again listening to that. That's terrific.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not a study. I mean, we see this often where a young artist will go back and sort of recreate music from a previous era, and this has some of that, and certainly, you know, the synth bass, the some of the background vocal stuff. It harks back to that, but it's really just a fresh take on the spirit of those records. That's how I hear it anyway.
What do you hear, Lior?
Oh, no, it's fantastic. I think that a lot of his fans were very happy. He's so charming, and it's kind of been his year. As you mentioned, his amazing TV series as well. So, good choice.
Well, you chose Come Down from Anderson .Paak's album Malibu. Lior, why did you pick this?
I picked this album. It's kind of a no-brainer. He's talking about somebody who's had a good year. A lot of people might know Anderson as contributing to Dr. Dre's Compton album last year. But his music is so of the now, you know, while still being quite radically retro. And he's basically just a little bit about him. He's an artist from California, and he's just been nominated for a Grammy as well for this album. And Malibu, it's a beautiful blend of all the styles that are meant to fit together. You know, you've got jazz, reggae, soul, funk, a little bit of house in there, and it's all kind of welded to hip-hop and R&B. And it's just amazing. He's such a great artist, and I'm so excited for what's to come.
Well, let's give that a listen.
Hey, well, that's exactly what it came for. You throwing shots from afar. I'ma meet you at your front door. So hard to be doing what you really meant for, beauty. But don't I make it look easy? Don't I make it look good? Hey, now you drank up all my liquor. Come on, what I'm supposed to do now? And you talking all that shit. Now come on.
Down from Anderson .Paak's album Malibu. Lior, we should say that it's Anderson period P-A-A-K. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason it's spelled that way? Do you know?
I know I read it once. It's now just left my mind, but I remember him being very, very quite focused that we got to keep the period in there. But I've totally forgotten now why he actually has it in. Well, Tom, do you know?
I don't.
Well, maybe our listeners will. Let me give out that phone
maybe
number.
Maybe one of our listeners, friends.
Absolutely. They have saved us more than once. 1-888-477-9499. If you can answer that question, give us a call. And if you want to tell us about some of the music that you enjoyed this year, give us a call as well. You can also email us, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Tom Moon, music reviewer for NPR. He's a jazz musician, has a band called Ensemble Novo. And joining us from South Africa, Lior Phillips, associate editor for Consequence of Sound. And they are sharing some of the music that they have enjoyed over the last 12 months. Well, let me go back to you, Tom. You picked Daydreaming from Radiohead's A Moon-Shaped Pool. Yes, A Moon-Shaped Pool. I set this up for us.
Well, you know, Radiohead's one of these bands that have been around for long enough to where every time they put out a record, all the critics put it on their top 10 list, and it's sort of knee-jerk reaction a little bit. What surprised me about this was after a couple of records where the writing was really good but obtuse and a little bit challenging, they wrote a record that compositionally is just stunning, and it has all the elements that fans love about Radiohead, But it really sort of gets at the heart of what the band's enterprise has been a little bit more. It's got elements of prog in it, and it's just a wonderful record. It's a record that I'm still listening to, and it's still opening up for me. Some records you hear once, you know right away. This record, it just has layers upon layers, and it's really interesting record.
And I think you wrote or perhaps said on NPR their first album in about 5 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been a long time gestating.
Yeah, and they haven't done the obvious thing of, you know, record tour every time. And, the band takes time and works things, kind of massages stuff. A couple of the songs on this record were songs that they wrote long ago, and they've played live for years and never quite got right until now.
Well, let's listen. This is Daydreaming from Radiohead's A Moon-Shaped Pool, sung by Tom York.
Dreamers, they never learn. They never learn. Beyond the point.
Daydreaming from Radiohead's A Moon-Shaped Pool, sung by Tom York. And Tom Moon, I mean, that sounds like Daydreaming, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've done a lot of – the guitarist Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead has done a lot of work in film scoring, and this record has that filmic element to it. It's very visual. It has, you know, sort of an idyllic, far-off-in-the-distance clouds kind of vibe.
Well, and he did soundtracks. I'm a big fan of movie soundtracks. I just think there's so much good music being written for that. He did There Will Be Blood, The Master, and a couple of others as well.
Yeah, then they are really wrenching. There's wrenching music in there. And, you know, you don't necessarily notice it when you're watching the film, but when you go back and visit those soundtracks, they're deep.
Lior, what do you hear in this Daydreaming song?
Oh, like Radiohead again. Tom's picking a lot of my favorites as well. But the mention of Johnny Greenwood, I think, is so vital because his experience, you know, as an orchestrator has allowed, you know, this band to kind of gain a new palette. And I recently saw him in Netherlands. He was playing with some musicians from all over the world in his project called Junun.
Oh, love that.
UN. And I swear the floor was moving us. We weren't even jumping and dancing as much because people were going so crazy. And it's really, really rubbed off on this album. And so he's a really, it's nice to see him kind of shining through. Not that he wasn't in all these years. I don't want Radiohead fans to say that he wasn't. But, you know, he's really a vital role in this band. So
that's a great project, too. Janoon, that's just a wonderful project. That's the future of music.
Well,
it's unbelievable. Well, one of the best.
Say more, Tom. And you, Lior.
Well, it's
more.
A short record. I think there's only like 30 minutes of music, but it's just transfixing. It has elements of Sufi, like whirling dervish kind of sound to it. It has lots of texture. And I just remember being completely transported by it when I first heard it. And it's been out a while now. I haven't listened to it in a while. But
last year. I think it came out last year, and that point on texture is so real. It's basically by the Israeli composer Shai Bensur, and it's got obviously Johnny Greenwood in it and an Indian ensemble.
Wow!
And live, it is just you can basically taste the music. It is so real and so raw, and yeah, if anyone needs new music as well as the bands that we're saying, this is definitely an album to go back to.
I'm writing that down. We have a tweet from DJ Royale. Yeah. James Blake's timeless album is an amazing fusion of melancholic singer, songwriter, ballads, and electronic production.
Yeah, it is.
Tom, yes, yeah, you agree?
Is. Yeah. It actually makes a nice segue from Daydream.
Yeah, it's true.
You like that as well, Lior?
Yeah, James Blake is a favorite as well. It's difficult when you're choosing your favorites.
I know.
It's kind of like everything. We had so many arguments just about our top 50 this year. So you can imagine the year was just so full of such beautiful music. And when you're choosing your top five, like Tom and I have had to do, there's like nowhere to hide. You know, you have to feel totally confident in all the five that you choose. But James Blake is a good addition. I would maybe say Tim Hecker was maybe in that realm of genre, was maybe one of my better choices. But James Blake, that album was really good as well.
Well, Lior, you picked Cranes in the Sky from Solange's album, A Seat at the Table. So why this song? Why this album?
Oh, gosh. I love Solange.
Okay, fair
this
enough.
This album is just hands down one of my favorite. That wasn't hard to choose. It takes a little bit of a step back from her 2012 EP, True. Now she's very much making music that reflects the time in which it was made. You know, she's a black female artist tackling the Black Lives Matter movement and what it means to be a black woman in 2016, and then taking all of that and infusing, you know, these ideas with deeply personal stories. And she kind of, it's just, as I said earlier, it's energizing and empowering. Mm. You know, she gives us all a freedom, and she gives people a freedom to shout really loudly about the progress of society while making music that is self-assured and raw and truly feels like she's arrived, if that, in a non-patronizing way. You know, her messages are just so powerful, and it's an album of self-healing and definitely her most commercially successful to date. So,
Lior, what is this song about, Cranes in the Sky?
Well, it's basically just a metaphor for, she uses a lot of, her messages are coated in metaphors. You know, she goes through her song, Don't Touch My Hair, is about like personal space and heartbreak is what she tackles during Cranes in the Sky. And if anyone hasn't watched the music video for that, I would also strongly suggest doing that, because the visual representation with this album is also so striking, just like Beyoncé's. They go hand in hand.
I just scribbled that down. Well, let's listen first to Cranes in the Sky from Solange's album, A Seat at the Table.
I tried to work it away, but that just made me even sadder. I tried to keep myself busy. I ran around in circles, think I made myself dizzy. I slept it away, I sexed it away, I read it away, 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 away. Well, it's like feel those metal eyes. Yeah, it's like cranes in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal eyes.
Cranes in the Sky from Solange's album, A Seat at the Table, about a minute or so before our break here. And for the uninitiated, that's Beyoncé's sister. Tom, you wanted to make a comment here.
Yeah, it's very interesting. what Lior said about these two records, because I of course, respect Beyonce, and her record was very much like kind of a processing hurt and, you know, the injustice of a relationship in this very personal way. This is almost like not trying to make the metaphoric larger statement. And as soon as I heard Solange, I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah, like that taking it from the individual personal trigger into something that's artistic and metaphoric and rich in detail. It's like this is what Beyonce used to do.
That's so interesting. Lior, hold on to that comment only because we have to take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about some of the best music of 2016. Our guests are Tom Moon, music reviewer for NPR, joining us here in our Philadelphia studio. He's a jazz musician. His band is called Ensemble Novo. And joining us from South Africa, Lior Phillips, associate editor for Consequence of Sound, who's been featured in Billboard, Rolling Stone, Vice, The Quietus, and others. We want to hear from you. 1-888-477-9499. We want to know about the music that you enjoyed this year. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain. We asked our guests, Lior Phillips and Tom Moon, to pick some of the music that they enjoyed in 2016, and we have been playing selections from that. It sounds like you want to comment on Solange. Lior, can I give you a chance to just a quick response, and then we'll move on to some more music?
Oh, I mean, what Tom said was obviously really true. I think that overall she's tackling, you know, as I said earlier, a process of healing without forgetting about gender and race and inequality. And that's obviously incredibly relatable, you know. So it's kind of like Beyonce and Solange are like Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. You know, people love them at different phases. And I feel like Solange, as much as Beyonce's album was phenomenal, which I do feel, you know, is really up there as well, this album definitely is higher up for me.
Well, it's very intimate in a kind of way that perhaps that's what you were getting to, Tom, as well.
Yeah.
Let me read a comment from Mark. He says, Cage the Elephant, tell me I'm pretty. A tweet from Katie. I love you all to mention, check out More Mother's Fetish Bones. Must listen from 2016. And she's from Philly. A comment from Anthony, the Blonde album from Frank Ocean. So, do you know More Mother's Fetish Bones from Philly?
No.
No.
All right. Well, we will have to check them
There's
out.
There's so much great music coming from our city right now. It's scary.
Right. And how about, do you live in South Africa, Lior?
At the moment, I actually am based in Tel Aviv, in Israel. So that's a little bit further away.
It is. But do you have family in South Africa?
Yes, I was born here. I was born and bred in Cape Town, back for the summer because I'm terrible and I really enjoy having summers as well, so I escape the winters. But there's a lot of amazing music coming out from both. You know, Israeli artists as well have had a lot of coverage this year. So have South African artists and just getting, the world is getting smaller, which is good.
It's good. Let me get actually Howard on because he's referencing something, Tom, you mentioned earlier, and then we'll pick your Norah Jones song. But first, Howard, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning.
Sure.
You guys had mentioned that the Rolling Stones have put out a new album. I listen to the radio all day, every day, and I hadn't heard anything about it. You know, could you tell me the name of the album, maybe play a little of it?
We can't play a little of it, but I'll give you Tom to fill you in.
Yeah, it's called Blue and Lonesome, and it came out in early December, and it's basically, it feels very much like it was cut live in the studio. Mick is playing a lot of harp as well as singing, and the band sounds wonderful. It's like the kind of, you know, every aging rock band has done like a goes back to the blues kind of thing. There's an Aerosmith one. There's, you know, all of them. This is different. This actually feels like blood and guts, and it's the most exciting thing. First of all, it's probably the best studio thing they've done in decades, but it just it's just visceral. It just grabs you by the throat.
Howard, thanks for the call. What's the name again?
Blue and Lonesome.
Blue and Lonesome. Okay. Got it, Howard?
Yes. Sounds great.
All
Thank
right.
You so much. Thanks
for the call to Radio Times. Let me go back to you, Tom. You picked Flip Side from Norah Jones' album Daybreaks.
Yeah. We were talking about intimacy. You know, one of the things that's really interesting in jazz right now and in jazz-adjacent music, things that are not exactly pop, is that people are starting to write in a way that is more like to scale of, like, let's just talk about this on a one-to-one kind of scale, which the Solange has too. And Norah Jones has written, you know, she's had great songs in the past. She's really figured out how to write at a scale where you feel the sensuality of her voice. You know, every bit of the production aims to sort of bring out a melody. It's very intimate, immediate music. This record is a masterpiece, I think.
Flip Side from Norah Jones' album Daybreaks. Let's give it a listen.
Try to get high, but you wanted me low. Good things are happening, but happening slow. Some kind of mystery from long ago. Locked, but I found the key. Hope it don't all slip away from me. Hard times, fine lines, moments pass by and I cry. Rewind, step behind.
Flip Side from Norah Jones' album Daybreaks, and Tom Moon telling me she's playing organ and piano on that.
Yeah, a lot of this record has her playing acoustic piano, Wurlitzer, and organ in multi-tracks, and, you know, that's a lot of keyboard. She makes it really work. The album feels very spacious like that. There's also some great Wayne Shorter saxophone playing on this record.
Oh, wow. Let me read an email from Robin, and then I'll go back to you, Lior. Robin says, I'm blown away by Plainfield from Pamela Means, another black woman writing incredible music from her experience, a beautiful album about hard subjects. Lior, you picked Conceptual Romance from Jenny Havall's album Blood Bitch. Why this song and why this album and why this singer?
Oh, Jenny. Well, she's one of my favorite artists. She's this avant-gardist Norwegian pop warrior as such. She's got quite an austere sound, and she's released four kind of critically acclaimed solo albums so far. Technically, this is her sixth, but Blood Bitch is a fourth. I mean, here it's a little bit obviously left field. She tackles, you know, lunar cycles, menstruation, death, nature, witchcraft. You know, and there's everything from heavy breathing during the track in the red to moments where she keeps repeating, I'm working on it, you know, during Conceptual Romance, which we'll hear now. And there's scribbling sounds on Untamed Region, that track, and beautiful, sublime vocals during the track, period piece. So she's always, for me, she's always gambled in a world of kind of blatant feeling. You know, she really does push the boundary, and there's just a levity of sound to her music, as well as her lyrics, which are so often poetic. And I just love her for continuously making wonderful music.
Well, let's give it a listen. Conceptual Romance from Jenny Havall's album Blood Bitch.
And sometimes I dream. The only one I am.
conceptual romance from Jenny Havall's album Blood Bitch. And Lior, I'm not sure whether you wrote this or not, but someone described this as an anthem for overworked millennials. Is that true?
I definitely didn't write that. She's crazy. People are really taking to her now, and she's just, you know, the thing about her is that she, as I said, she's not afraid to say whatever is on her mind, which is obviously something that we so we want our artists to do that. You know, we want everything from them. And one of the main reasons why I loved this album and her in general in 2016 was during a lot of her performances, and especially one that I caught in Poland, she read aloud a 2-page manifesto about harassment at festivals, you know, which is not a new conversation, but, you know, this speech kind of crushed the crowd, you know. She detailed ways to stop harassment and change a culture at a festival during a set. You know, so instead of her taking up time to sing, she chose to be there for her fans. And I think that's really honorable.
And there is I hear some politics here. I mean, singers not just singing about their lives, but really making statements about the world, whether it's climate change or war or harassment. Very interesting. A tweet from Adam who says, Chance the Rapper's coloring book is absolutely essential. Yes, two thumbs up from our guests here. Tom, let me go back to you. You picked Evil from Savage's album called Adore Life. Tell us about Savage's album.
You know, as Lior said, this has been a year of strong women and women who are projecting, in Jenny's case, many ideas about sound. In the case of Savage's, which is a sort of a post-punk trio, one very focused idea about sound that just, you know, kind of guitar, bass, drums, voice. And this record is one of those visceral things that you hear and you just go, wow, I haven't been wrenched like that in a minute. They were transfixing live. They were so good live.
Well, let me quote you, Tom. This is from the piece you did for NPR. You began, how long has it been since a snarling singer and a supercharged electric guitar grabbed you by the throat and wouldn't let go? let's give it a little.
So accurate.
Let's listen. Evil from Savage's album, Adore Life. Evil from Savage's album Adore Life. Anything you want to say about that, Lior?
Well, just, I mean, if you haven't seen them live, it's definitely my favorite live band of the year. I luckily caught them all over the world, and they just, she dives into the crowd head first with, you know, reckless abandon. Jenny Beth is just incredible, and the whole, they're all such good musicians as well. I think a lot of people forget that because they're so rough and tough. But to the core, they're really talented.
It's true.
Lior, let me go back to you. You picked for your top 10 or your top 5 list, Your Best American Girl from Mitski's album Puberty 2. A quick setup for us.
Yeah, Mitski is so wonderful. I'm very madly in love with her. She's a captivating voice in indie rock at the moment. And Puberty 2 is kind of a detailed narration of the struggle to be happy and what becoming happy entails. You know, a lot of people don't pick that apart, that how vulnerable you can be once you are happy and letting the anger kind of go. And throughout the 11 rather gritty tracks, there's some gorgeous vocals. It's intimate to an extent, you know. Mitski's sometimes almost whispering in our ears, and then, you know, screaming in the other. There's some great saxophone solos, like on the track Happy, some nice synths during the track Crack Baby, and then obviously the punk, the pop punk track Your Best American Girl is definitely one of the best of hers off this album. And it's just basically an album for all of us, you know, who have ever kind of found ourselves failing or heartbroken, and you know, it gets us out of bed.
Well, let's give it a listen. Your Best American Girl from Mitski's album Puberty 2.
You're the sun.
Squeeze in my favorite album of the year, Leonard Cohen's last album, You Want It Darker. This is a song called Treaty. Just a quick comment, if you could, Tom Moon, about this.
Well, I hear it as an epitaph record. On the title track, You Want It Darker, he says several times, I'm ready, my Lord. You know, he's said so much in poetry for so long, and he essentialized it in a way on this record that is dark and beautiful at once and gripping. He was one of the true masters of this form, and we are going to miss him so much. He's even apocalyptic before, but not like this.
Well, let's give it a listen. My thanks to both of you for joining us today on Radio Times Treaty.
Thank you.
Thanks.
But born again is born without a skin. The poison enters into everything. And I wish there was a treaty we could sign. I do not care who takes this bloody hill. I'm angry and I'm tired all the time. I wish there was a treaty. I wish there was a treaty between your love and mine.
Treaty from Leonard Cohen's last album, You Want It Darker. One of the lines I love, I'm so sorry for the ghost I made you be. Only one of us was real, and that was me. And that's it for today's edition of Radio Times. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be talking with David Bromberg. More music and conversation. Hope you can join us.